Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Here's What I Think, musings from two Anabaptist pastors, educators, and most importantly, Christ followers. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. Just a quick reminder, last time on this podcast, we talked about the church, or we started a series talking about the church where we talked about what the church is and what it's not and how we're put together and how we relate together. And so I'm looking forward to today's discussion, Matt.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about today is one of the aspects of sort of the gathered, or one of the things that the gathered body of believers does on a typical Sunday morning. And that's the whole thing of preaching. You've got someone standing up front, in front of everyone else, giving a message from Scripture, and we all sit there, riveted for, 30 minutes, 40 minutes? Some preachers go for over an hour as they sort of parse out God's Word.
Now, you use the word riveted, Matt.
Well, you know, it depends on who's preaching, Jeremy.
You also said, we hear from God's Word.
So, let me pose a question.
Fair enough.
Jeremy, this thing we call preaching, I've heard sometimes people are, you know, there's some thought that maybe we overemphasize this idea of sort of preaching on a Sunday morning. And isn't there a better way of sort of hearing from God on a Sunday morning than kind of one person up front? And, maybe we should all do something else instead of have this sort of be the highlight of a Sunday morning service, which generally it is. It's either your church generally today, I think, I'm not overstating probably to say in North America, your church is either known as having just a great worship team, worship song experience, or you've got this great pastor who just is riveting, to use that
there
word
you go.
Again. And so you hear people from time to time sort of criticize that and say, well, wait a second, why are we placing so much of an emphasis on preaching? Is that really the best use of time for a gathered body of believers on a Sunday morning? What do you say to that, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who are saying, I shouldn't say a lot, there are at least some people who are saying that's been a total mistake of the church,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not helpful, and that all the folks in the church should be contributing to the teaching, that kind of thing. And you're asking a great question, because if it's not that helpful, or if it's not the way things are supposed to be, or if it's not the best practice of the church, then we should quit doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been the case for a long time, that preaching has been really central to the life of the church. And fundamentally, we see it in Scripture throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, in the life of God's people. Preaching, or the heralding of God's truth, is a central part of His people. And so, I mean, not to get to the crux of the matter for me too quickly, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really begin to rework Scripture, at least to make a historical argument that it's no longer necessary. You have to begin to understand Scripture differently, or to use Scripture differently, to find a starting point to say we no longer need to have preaching be a part of our life together. Now, I'm happy to entertain the idea that perhaps it's been overplayed or overblown somehow as basically the only thing that really happens in the life of God's people. I think that'd be an interesting discussion. But to say that it shouldn't be part of what we do, when I look at Scripture, I don't know how you make that argument.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid point. It's interesting to look at it from a historical perspective where, depending on your church tradition, depending on the era of history that you're looking at as well, the high point of the church gathered has sort of changed and shifted at different points in church history as well. So, you know, at certain times and in certain church traditions, you have something like, for example, the Lord's Supper, The Eucharist is something that is like the high point, and that's right. what you do when you get together. And yeah, if someone preaches, or yeah, if the, but really the high point is the Eucharist.
Right.
Or, you know, liturgy, for example, in a strongly liturgical understanding of church, the liturgy of the gathered body, excuse me, of believers is kind of the high point where, you know, if the pastor says something or if the priest says something, you know, that's great. But really the reason we're gathered here together is the liturgy. I think in the churches that I've been the most formed in, it hasn't been the liturgy. It hasn't been the Eucharist. It hasn't been the singing. But as I look back and reflect on my sort of development as a Christian and the churches and the church tradition that I've been a part of, preaching was sort of the high point of the service. This is what you waited for. This is where you received from the Lord that day. And I remember my dad used to, we'd sit down at lunch Sunday and we'd talk about what the preacher say, what'd you think about the sermon? And that was something that was very important.
Yeah.
It was an important element of why we gathered.
Well, I think that makes the point is preaching has always been used to provoke. I mean, and that's not in a bad way or in a malicious way, but it's a proclamation of something, and you have to figure out what to do with that, right? And preaching at its best and most appropriate is a proclamation of God's word, which by necessity will provoke something in us. I think about the entire reason Jesus was killed is because when he taught, when he preached, you know, when he was in the synagogues, when he was speaking publicly, the religious leaders of that time were absolutely provoked by some of the things Jesus was saying. So when they brought him, you know, before the high priest, they were asking him, did you not say these things? And Jesus said, well, you listen to my teaching.
Yeah.
You know what I said.
Yeah.
And so Jesus himself was a preacher, was a teacher in public.
And he provoked.
And it was provoking.
Yeah.
Because it was God's word. And we see the same thing played out in the remainder of the New Testament. And there are clear commands then and exhortations to teach and preach.
Yeah. So no, that's a good point. How would you define preaching then? Like what are the necessary elements that would have to be, let's say you're at church Sunday morning and you hear, you know, the pastor gets up and he preaches a sermon.
Yeah.
What is it that makes that a sermon that has been preached for you? How would you define that?
Yeah. Well, it has to be more than simply transferring information.
Mm.
Right? So
you would say that's teaching.
Well, that's teaching at its worst.
Yeah.
Because even
good point.
Any kind of teaching that is simply a transmission of straight information, people, like, that doesn't move the needle of the heart, right? Occasionally, I mean, there's a place for simple transmission of information, but that's not preaching. It's not the way the New Testament sort of, that's not how you see it done. But you go to the opposite extreme where it's, so another part of preaching and teaching is exhortation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it's all exhortation that's not based in any sort of real information,
yeah,
then you got a huge problem the other way. So I would say there's exhortation, there's teaching, there's testimony.
Mm.
In most of the sermons you see in the New Testament, there's a testimony, a story being developed. Jesus taught often through story, which is a form of testimony.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, exposition. Jesus referred back to the Old Testament constantly, as did Paul, as did Peter.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there are those elements, and I didn't label them nicely, but mm-hmm. there's sort of exposition of God's word. There's testimony about how that's happened in our lives, how we see it happening in our world. There's exhortation. In other words, it's applied to people's hearts. It's saying, here's the message, and here is how it affects us. And then there's teaching about how we actually live then. And I think those are all critical pieces. And when you remove them, then any one of those pieces, I think there's something that's really missed in it.
So it's something that engages both the heart and the mind.
Absolutely.
And exhorts people to follow after Jesus.
Yeah. It challenges, I mean, it confronts our way of thinking or living or being, because that's what God's Word does to us. When we come to God, unless we're fully formed and perfect human beings, we are going to be confronted. And that, when we use that word so often, it has such a negative connotation. It has such a negative connotation. It has, like, it feels kind of mean-spirited. It also can feel arrogant in our day and age. Like, you know, we're strong postmoderns where truth is relative and
yeah.
There's a lot of gray. And we want to be humble.
Sure.
But there is a sort of foundational truth that comes from God that preaching throughout history has brought to bear. And if we're never, if who we are is never really confronted, then I don't know that we're actually preaching God's word.
So, Jeremy, I like what you're saying. I agree with you. But it does beg the question, okay, so if a preacher is doing the things that you have sort of outlined here, what would you say to the person that says, well, okay, we've got God's word, and yes, we want to be challenged with this, we want to be exhorted by it. Wouldn't it be better then, instead of just kind of having one person stand up and sort of deliver this, what do you say to the person that says, well, wouldn't it be better if we all just sit around and sort of open the Bible and kind of hear from each other and what God's saying to each other, and that's a better way of getting at the truth of Scripture than just kind of having one person up front talking.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that's a bad way of doing Bible study. But if there's not sermon or preaching, which there's rarely preaching, at least in my experience, in that scenario, that's a different sort of confrontation that that does not happen typically if that's missing, right? And so when I look again, I go back to the New Testament and I look at what's modeled. And if you remove exhortation and teaching and preaching and in the way that it's modeled in the New Testament, then I think you miss out on a very significant and sizable part of what the church did in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
To our detriment.
I wonder, I wonder if authority doesn't sort of play a part in this as well. Because, you know, someone like, I'm just thinking of, you know, the beginning of Acts, for example, the day of Pentecost.
Right.
You know, you've got the Holy Spirit coming, and all of a sudden they run outside, and who gets up and preaches but Peter? He's kind of the spokesperson. He's the one that brings this word with authority that was needed at that time. And I wonder if in church, maybe one of the things that, and like you said, I think you're right, like there's a place for, and it's we need to do an episode on, you know, Bible study, or, you know, small group Bible study, or something like that. It's there's a place for it, and it's good.
Absolutely.
And it's valuable. It's a must in the life of a Christian. But if you say, well, this small group Bible study time sort of replaces the word proclaimed, the word preached, then we're missing something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think this authority thing is part of the piece of the puzzle, because I'm just thinking about where I go to church. It's a pretty standard sort of North American evangelical setup for a church. We start with a time of praise and worship. We take tithes and offerings. But the culmination of the service is sort of the spoken word, the preaching that happens. And we've got a number of pastors. One of the things that makes where I go to church is fairly unique is we have very much kind of a shared leadership, that there's one pastor, but there's a group of us pastors who really share the preaching and share the leadership. But on any given Sunday, you have someone up there up front who is speaking with authority. And I think that sense of authority is something that we tend to balk at. It goes against our human nature because we don't want someone necessarily telling us what to do. But as you were saying before, when you look at Scripture, that is simply a part of and needs to be a part of any church structure is leadership authority and someone speaking with authority.
Yeah, I think that's really key. My own bias as I look at church structure, maybe we'll talk about this in another episode, is the idea that a plurality of elders, the model in the New Testament is for a plurality of elders to lead the church. But one of the ways that they are given authority in the church is the right to proclaim God's word. They've been entrusted with the authority to proclaim God's word. And that's why preaching and who preaches and how they preach is such a serious thing, because you're speaking for God. And that can't be taken lightly by the church or by the preacher teacher. It was funny because I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he had walked through a really difficult situation. A family had lost a child to drowning. And what people usually need in that situation from their pastor is that they're looking at their pastor positionally. We need to know that God's with us. And he bears that sort of representation to a family. And the thing about that is that preaching actually helped solidify that kind of authority. And so when you have something horrible like that happen, there's a preacher and an elder who preaches can be seen as being the hands and feet of God to a family in crisis. And I know that may feel like kind of a tangent, but I think there's something about preaching and teaching then that empowers the pastoral life of the church way beyond the pulpit.
Yeah, and I'll often go home after hearing a sermon and not necessarily agree with everything the preacher said. I'll think, well, wait, I don't know. You know, that point was maybe, you know, a little off, or maybe I didn't like how he interpreted a certain passage of Scripture in his message or something like that. But even though I may, you know, sort of not agree 100% with everything that was said, I recognize that this was given and spoken as a means for me to wrestle with truth from God's Word.
Yeah,
and ultimately, it needs to, you know, work at me making changes in how I then live.
Yeah, Matt, one more question for you: how can you say that preaching is important if you don't even remember what the preacher preached last Sunday?
Boy, Jeremy, I thought I was going to be asking the questions on this on this episode. I remember very little about any church service, classroom, even conversation that I've had with people, like the specifics of them. But I think what is transformative about it, I'm an educator. I believe in teaching. I believe in the classroom. I believe in these things. Even though as I look back on my own educational experience, there's very few classes that I look back on and say, wow, that day in that classroom or that day at that church from that preacher was. But what I do, what has been formative for me in sitting under preachers my whole life has been sort of the collective desire to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And then attempt to walk that out on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, you're right. I can't look back on hardly any. I mean, I could sit down and maybe name three or four sermons that I remember hearing. And it was like, man, that person. But I can remember a whole lot more times when, like I remember one time, when I think I was 14 or 15 years old, that I was at these meetings where I don't even know who the preacher was. I have no idea who the preacher was. I don't remember anything he said. What I remember is being so convicted of sin in my life that I ended up responding, and I'm sure it was the cliche, "Just as I am," Sawdust Trail, the whole thing. I don't even remember if we were singing "Just as I am," but it probably was. It was the right era. But what I remember from it is God's hand on my heart, convicting me and moving me to respond to Him.
Yeah.
And He did it via preaching.
The proclamation of the truth.
The proclamation of truth. I don't remember who the preacher was. I have no idea what text he preached on.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and He worked in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. I think about, my wife has made me a lot of meals over the years, and I've made a few for myself. Yeah. And I don't remember but a handful of those.
Yeah.
But they were really important for my development and my ongoing ability to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think preaching somehow is like that, maybe a little bit, which is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's a culminating effect of continuing to hear God's word proclaimed.
And so here's a question. Let's say I've got this great preacher that, you know, I love the way he preaches. I love the way he interprets scripture. I love the way, and he's got this great podcast. So why shouldn't I sit at home on a Sunday morning and listen to this really good preacher who has the best illustrations and the best points and brings the message home just like a champion, instead of going and listening to my preacher at church who, you know, sometimes it's me, sometimes I'm really not on my game and everyone's falling asleep. Why is that important? Is preaching in that context important versus just listening to my favorite podcast?
Yeah, well, I mean, I love it that so many preachers are available, but if they rob you from life in the local body, then that's a problem. I actually, you know, when we came to Rosedale Bible College, you know, when we were thinking about churches, we chose a church for specific reasons, namely, it was closest to the college.
Not a bad reason to choose a church.
But I didn't really want to choose a church based on the quality of preaching. I cared a whole lot more about the character of the leadership in the church. Because you can have subpar preachers, but I just want to know that they're godly people,
mm-hmm.
that they're worth following.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know that, and I know that they're pursuing Christ and they have high character, then the things that they share, if they're committed to sharing God's truth, even if they're not delivered in the most powerful way, that is part of being part of the community of God.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is a long way of saying, it comes back to the authority piece that we were talking about earlier. If we don't give the leaders of our local congregation authority in our lives, then we're not actually being the church.
Mm.
That's part of the authority God's given them. And so we usurp that, we undermine it when we say, my preacher's subpar, I'm not going to pay attention to him. That is wrong. If that's actually true, you need to find a community in which you submit yourself to the teaching of that leader or leaders.
Yeah, and there's so much to good preaching that we tend to think of, quote, good preaching as someone who can really captivate the audience and tell a good story and ask thought-provoking questions and exegete the word. And those are all good things.
Sure.
But I'm just thinking of someone that I know who I will never name who is not a good preacher at all. But I trust his walk with the Lord and respect it to such a degree that I'm going to sit and struggle through the 40 minutes that I have to listen to him because I really respect his walk with Jesus. And yes, he's never going to get chosen to, you know, headline some conference somewhere.
Right.
But I want to hear him. I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Because I know him.
He's the authority God's placed.
And I respect him.
Yep. I again, you know, we talked last podcast about just a kind of consumer mentality. And it's insidious. And if we aren't ever forced to listen to the people God has placed directly in our lives and be under their authority, including their teaching authority, then shame on us. That's a problem in our hearts. And not that our preachers and teachers and leaders don't need to continue to hone their communication craft.
Absolutely.
But, man, we got to get past that.
Yeah. Well, good. We've probably batted this one around enough, Jeremy.
I think so.
You know, this is fun to talk about. I think next time we'll pick up another aspect of the gathered body. I don't know what it will be next time, whether it's the singing service or whether it's something like tithing or I don't know, some other aspect.
Something easy like that.
Or fellowship, something like that. I don't know. We'll pick out another aspect of the gathered body of believers and go from there. But this has been fun to kick this one around a bit. So anyway, this has been another episode of Here's What I Think. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. We'll talk to you next time.